Unity, the strength and the show success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity. Yeah. United we stand, divided we fall.
Oh, yeah. Welcome, everybody. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a freaking awesome show today. I can just feel it. No guess. It's just 2 straight hours of Vinny ranting. Unless, of course, you want to interject something by calling in 402 237-2525, and if you're in contact with me on Skype and you'd like to come up on the show as well, just send me a little Skype message and we'll get you connected that way if you can't afford to call. The number, again, is 402-237-2525. And I wanted to start off today by talking about this article here and stuff.co.nz, key signals budget KiwiSaver cuts. Now, KiwiSaver is basically, in my opinion, a government savings scheme where they give all your money to foreign-owned, speculative, basic companies, you know, finance companies, who basically are going to lose all your money. And in my opinion, of course, this is all done on purpose so that everybody in New Zealand who's dumb enough to trust the government to save money for them will wind up getting it all ripped off by the finance company, so the government will go, oh, well, we couldn't foresee that happening. That's my opinion, though. I could be wrong. The government is giving less and asking for more from workers and their employers in changes to the KiwiSaver scheme, announced by Prime Minister John Key today. In a speech at Wellington's Amora Hotel this afternoon, Key confirmed that there would be changes to KiwiSaver working for families and interest-free student loans in the budget next week. Okay, so anybody else out there who got duped like I did, by the whole idea of going to university to further your education so that you can get a job that pays more than peanuts, you would have been better off working at Pack and Slave. You'll find out, because as soon as the interest comes up on these student loans, you're going to be able to pay them off for the rest of your life, and you'll be a freaking debt slave, you know? And this is the thing about university, is that I know lots of people who have university qualifications, and they're unemployed. Okay? Because they don't teach you to think at university. Do they? They teach you to repeat and regurgitate at best. He staked all of the charges on the November election. However, saying that none will come in to force unless National is re-elected. So, basically, he's saying, everybody, vote for me. If you want the government to take away more of your benefits, to charge you more for education, and vote for me if you want to save less money. Okay, now that's basically what he's saying. The reality is, if you vote for anybody, they will do the exact same effing thing to you, with the exception of parties who have never come into parliament, who have yet to prove themselves as evil. And I suppose there's only a couple of parties that aren't evil, but whether or not they're organised enough to get themselves elected, I don't know. People will have the opportunity to decide whether a responsible approach to balancing the books and building growth is one they want to support. Now, whenever the government says we want to balance the books, what they mean is that they want to tip the scales and get the country monstrously into debt. That's balancing the books, okay? Because seriously, they never balance the book. Every time that they campaign on any effing platform. They don't solve it because they wouldn't have any frickin' platform to campaign on the next election, would they? So, hey, you remember those terrible problems that we fixed in the last election?
No, I'm a dumb voter that votes for either one of the right-wing or left-wing parties in a complete false paradigm. I don't have a memory. I don't understand things that have actually happened beforehand. I vote for people that have screwed me over time and time again because I think that their campaign platforms really suit my personality.
You frickin' retarded scum. I don't want to call them retarded scum. Well, actually, I do, but it's more the fact that it's a frustration at the mind-numbing mainstream media, the government, making people so retarded. That's what really ticks me off. It's not the retarded people themselves. It was clear, he said, that the high costs of KiwiSaver working for families and interest-free student loans were unaffordable in the longer term. That's right. Saving and making sure that families have enough money to raise their kids properly so they don't turn into the next generation of criminals is a bad idea. But then again, they're all socialist policies anyway. And so what is the real difference? I mean, we're going from a socialist prime ministerial elected dictatorship to a fascist prime ministerial elected dictatorship where they take away everything from you that the socialists gave you and then burden more on you. Okay, and it's not like the socialists didn't burden a heck of a lot of stuff on you anyway, because they also get rid of all your state assets and approve of a private central bank issuing this country's currency. So, you know, there's patently no difference. And this is election year, of course, in New Zealand, and being astute when it comes to voting is not that easy, especially if your only media source happens to be mainstream media. The difficulty, of course, is that they are now free-reigning manipulators. They have no qualms about lying to you. Did you know that it is not unlawful or illegal or even against any kind of rule for a politician to knowingly misrepresent their policies? You know, if you don't believe me, go and check it out. Penny Bright found that out a long time ago, and she thought it was just absolutely ridiculous. And as you should. Because let's face it, if you have a government or a rule system that condones lying, cheating, and various other forms of scumbaggery, it is very, very likely that the whole country will go down the gurgler. Key goes on to say the changes we will make in the budget will ensure they are more enduring and sustainable. Now, there's that word sustainable again. Now, I told our sinister of local government, who's now just been ousted. Oh, that cracked me up. By another globalist scumbag, incidentally. I told Minister Rodney Hyde that Agenda 21 is being used and being brought in to take control of the Auckland region. That the super city legislation, which puts $28 billion, allegedly, into the hands of private, secret, corporate, unelected boards, the combination of which is not very good. Unless, of course, you're completely in the hand of the globalist slime bags that run this country and run the world. Now, he had not only never heard of Agenda 21, but didn't do any research as to what it actually is. When you corporatize, privatize, and steal assets off of the people who paid for those assets, that's Agenda 21. When you tell people that they can't live in particular areas of the city and they have to go into these particular blocks along railroad tracks. That's Agenda 21. When your water supply starts to become a little bit dirty, and so they use that as an excuse to privatise the water supply. That's Agenda 21. Basically, Agenda 21 is 101 of what's happening in New Zealand today and happening around the world, of course, because it's a global agenda. Those of you who don't know what Agenda 21 is, in 1992, at the Rio Earth Summit, in a private yacht off the coast of Rio, it was Prince Charles's private yacht, by the way, George H.W. Bush, Sr., our Prime Minister at the time, Jim Bolger, I believe, and many other world leaders signed on to this Agenda 21, in secret, of course, because it involves, and you wait for it, basically the cancellation of any kind of modern society. Right? Neo-feudalism, roads, medicine, electricity, hospitals, education, industrial agriculture. These are the things that have been earmarked as quote-unquote unsustainable. And so therefore we'll just do away with them and leave everybody else destitute. Now, of course they don't have a plan for what they're going to do with the rest of the people, or at least I haven't looked into it that far. But the whole agenda of the globalists is to essentially steal everybody's assets so that they're completely defenseless when the extermination forces come in and end their lives. Nice and swimmingly. And every single politician that I've seen so far getting their Shiite together on the political realm has been pushing this agenda in very, very small, minute ways, tiny little bits every now and again. I'm always looking, okay? Oh, it's Agenda 21. Oh, that's Agenda 21. Yeah, yeah. It all is the exact same game being played. And what distresses me is that we completely fall for it consecutively every time. The three schemes targeted for cuts collectively cost almost $5 billion a year. Now, that's not that much when you consider that the Prime Minister John Key signed off on, quote-unquote, $450 million a week that he's borrowing. Now, I don't mean to appear cynical. Maybe I do. Isn't that just kind of, I don't know. This is the problem that I have with mainstream media. And the thing that I really like about alternative media is an alternative media person like myself will read through a mainstream media article and just basically, if you wanted to read one article, let's say it's a 1,000-word article, you'd have to turn it into, say, a 10,000-word essay to put in just the important points that they've missed in general. Because there is so much information out there, there is so much to know, so much to do, that, I mean, I understand they literally cannot put all the information into an article. And if they did, their editors, who probably probably belong to globalist organizations like the Royal Institute for International Affairs or the Council on Foreign Relations, if you're in the American media, will basically say, oh, no, let's just chop that down a little bit. Why don't you chop this out and that out and that out? But that's all the guts of the story. And you go, I know, you're not allowed to give people proper information. And goodness sake, you're a writer at a mainstream newspaper and you thought you could get the truth out to people? F off, you know, you're fired. Oh, that's classic. These programs were introduced during a debt and consumption-driven economic bubble, and it is clear that they are unaffordable, Key goes on to say about these schemes that he's cutting. Now, of course, it's talking about a debt-induced bubble as if it's not what's happening right now. I want to read that again. These programs were introduced during a debt and consumption-driven economic bubble. Oh my God. That's classic. That's absolutely if you're talking about a debt and a consumption bubble, the only reason why we've got a debt bubble economy right now and no consumption is because the debt level's too high and they're forcing the frickin' currency to inflate like there's no frickin' tomorrow, so you can't buy jack. Hence why it's not a consumer economy, it's just now a debt economy. And he wants to help our debt economy by getting all the people who have families and an education and a savings scheme into debt. Oh, yeah. That's government. That's the way that you get your job done for your banker masters, Prime Sinister John Key. However, he didn't go into a lot of detail about the cuts, but he confirmed that less would go into KiwiSaver accounts from tax credits and more would go in from both individuals and employers. Now, the basic the scheme part of it here for KiwiSaver is that about 4%, or at least this was originally how it was put up, 4% of your wages go into this KiwiSaver, 4% of, your employer basically matches that, and so does the government. Well, the government puts in 8%. I don't know, something like that. When National first came in, they cut that in half. Say, okay, it's only 4% from, the employee's wages, 2% from the employer, and the government's going to come down to 6. And basically, he's just going to cut it again. Right, now, KiwiSaver was lauded as some great, great scheme. It's going to save everybody copious amounts of money because we have a problem with savings in this country, incidentally, because we've got so many credit cards and finance companies, et cetera, that have been getting everybody into monstrous debt. And so the government's solution was, hey, let's give control of everybody's savings over all these credit card and finance companies. That'll solve the debt problem. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, broadcasting live from the fabulous slave island nation of New Zealand. And we'll be right back after the break. Gather around. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Thank you for those who've joined me in the chat room there. I've got something to finish reading off here. I just kind of wanted to continue on with this article because it's actually quite lengthy and it deserves to have the debate and, breaking down on it because, hey, nobody else will really have access to it through any other medium. Nobody's going to go through and just break it down line by line because it's just like every line of this article is just a lie, pretty much. A lie, a misrepresentation, or just kind of hiding the facts from people. So, you know, I just think it's my duty to sort of, you know, give people a little bit of a heads up, a wraparound context of what the heck is going on with all these budget cuts. Now, supposedly the $1,000 kickstart for new KiwiSaver members would remain in place. Okay, and that's pretty obvious when you first open up your account, you get it basically a grand, but you can't get it out until you're going to either buy a house or retire. And I've heard from a number of people that when you do, in fact, try to go to get that money out for a house or something that you desperately need, like if you're like many New Zealanders who are struggling to pay the food bill at the moment, sorry, it might take quite some time to get that money out of your account. But at least we'll give you $1,000 worth of fake fiat money that gets the country into debt in order to prop up your savings account at least. The changes to KiwiSavers won't happen immediately, and this will give people and business time to adjust, Key said. Now, when they talk about giving you time to adjust, and when they talk about, phasing things in, basically what they're saying is, if we were to just implement exactly what we want right here, right now, everybody would be up in arms, protesting like the Dickens, and we'd be thrown out of government, and I might be hung as a traitor. But if I just introduce all this thing slowly, over time, and then blame it on previous, and then my successor governments, not only does it completely alleviate me of blame, but also the dumbed-down slave masses who've been relatively well fine-tuned by enemy propaganda won't have any effing clue what's up. Increased contributions from people and businesses will happen at a time when the economy will have well and truly recovered, and both wages and employment will be increasing. Now, when they talk about the economy recovering, what they're talking about is basically a fantasy, okay? They have collapsed the economy by design. They want joblessness. They want violence in the streets. They want chaos so that the people will accept a newer, greater, oppressive form of authoritarian government. That's exactly what they do. If you stage an economic crisis and then seize full control of the population using it as the pretext, there ain't F all people can do about it, okay? And that's precisely what the government does. And that's what they've been doing for quite some time, as far as my reckoning is concerned. You know, back in the 1970s, 80s, 90s, and all the way through the noughties, it's been the same effing story. Hey, we've got this incredibly crap policy that was given to us by some World Bank officials. And instead of just, you know, the World Bank directly negotiating with the Prime Minister and saying, hey, Mr. Prime Minister, we got you monstrously into debt, and we're charging you extortionist loan sharking rates on all that debt. And so, as a result, what we need you to do is to sell off all your state assets, completely undermine your sovereignty, and completely lie to your people and tell them that some economic recovery package is on the way, and all they need to do is just give up all their rights and all their state assets that they've ever earned in their entire life in order to get it. Okay? That would just be too obvious. Instead, they give that instructions to Treasury, who always stay there, no matter which regime is in power, and they deliver it to the Prime Minister themselves. And this is very prominent in a documentary that was released in the mid-90s called Someone Else's Country. The filmmaker basically interviewed a whole bunch of people in Parliament, and they all said the exact same thing. Okay, the Prime Minister, as soon as they get elected, they get a nice call from the frickin' Treasury saying, hey, there's been a big economic bubble blowing up in the meantime between this last regime change, and now you have to violate every single promise that you ever promised the New Zealand public during your election campaign in order to fix up the mess that the last guys made when they broke all their promises after they had the exact same conversation with Treasury that we're having with you now. Okay? This is admitted. This is admitted. I can't, you know... It's the difficulty when you're trying to discuss a topic with people who know nothing about it. And the interesting thing is, when people know nothing, often they do more talking than listening. You know, me personally, I don't claim to know everything. I don't claim to have credibility or whatever, but I do in fact listen and I look for things. Okay. Unlike most of the general public who don't listen and don't look at anything of relevance anyway. Well, the economy recovering. This is the interesting aspect of it. It's not going to recover, okay? It's going to get worse. Much, much worse if it ever gets better at all. And in my opinion, it would take a quantum leap of change politically and institutionally in this country in order to bring some kind of economic recovery. Because at the moment, we are simply slaves, okay? Slaves to the World Bank and IMF and the international banks that are getting us monstrously into debt, okay? That's it. Until those effing scumbags are thrown out on their ass, we will be the ones who get destitute and have our wages devalued, you know, and people wonder about, you know, why everything's costing more. It's not costing more, okay? It's just that your money's being devalued by design so that they can push up and create an even bigger monumental crisis. All right? Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled when they tell you that the economy's recovering. Okay? Don't be a sucker. Honestly, get real. Grow up. The government lies to you and they're working to kill you. All right, that's basically my motto. And invariably, if you act under that assumption, you'll wind up being correct most of the time, which is quite unfortunate. But hey, it's reality. You can't change what reality is. You can only deny it. And most people do that quite well. Working for families would also become, quote, a little less generous to families higher up in the scale. Now, is Key pandering to the left here? It's an interesting thing, because if we can have a government that's elected with, say, 58-60% at the polls, and where previously people would vote for Labour or whatever, it means that basically there's a huge chunk of swing voters out there. We'd probably say about a third of the country will support National no matter what, about a third of the country will support Labour no matter what, and about a third of the country, I don't know, it's split between voting for either one of the two big major parties, which will just invariably screw them over, and some of the minor, less significant parties that we have in this country, like the Green Party, ACT, the Māori Party, and to a much, much lesser extent, the United Future and Progressive Party. So essentially what we've got here is a swing voter kingmaker majority, right? Means if you are the person who might vote either right or left, you're the one with the most amount of power in this country, which is to my mind, incredibly dangerous and not good, because, well, it means that you haven't made up your mind, and you're probably making your mind up in some description of a facile fashion where recent events will dictate your political beliefs, as opposed to history, as opposed to track record, and as opposed to your politician's personal integrity. This can only happen, of course, with a lack of knowledge of the general voting public. And considering the amount of BS information that we get on a day-to-day basis, it's very unsurprising indeed. But Key goes on to say, even though that they're going to cut, you know, a little bit for working for families, as I said before, quote, we will do this gradually in a way that minimizes the impact on families, Key said. And again, they do it gradually so that you don't revolt against them, okay? They know how you think. They know that if they suddenly just started taxing you, I mean, it was like Will said something a while back on this show. Somebody asked him, you know, well, you know, why don't we just only have one tax instead of like all these thousands of different taxes? And Will said to him, yeah, that's because you would get 60% income tax and it would be blatantly obvious that you're a slave. But if you're enslaved in a thousand little ways, as opposed to one big obvious way, you won't click on to the fact. And that's precisely what they're doing here. The student loan scheme would also be adjusted, but would remain interest-free. I wonder for how long that's going to be, and I wonder how it would be adjusted. You know, I mean, if they're not going to go into the details, in my opinion, that means that they're going to try something real frickin' nasty. Do I sound like a negative Nancy, or do I sound like Reality Joe? The changes we are making in the budget will make all of these programs more affordable and ensure they survive into the future, Key said. So basically, he's saying, well, you know, everything's going to remain the same, except it's going to get slightly worse, and I'll promise that they'll survive into the future, when the reality is I'll just make them slightly worse and worse and worse and worse until eventually they just basically get stolen by bankers. Like me. Oh, John Key. Oh, it's hilarious. It would not be a, quote, slash and burn budget, but would, quote, balance a number of the government's aims. The government's aims to make you more destitute, cut your benefits, and to basically sell out the country to international banks. I mean, how many times do I have to say it? You know, it's the exact same thing over and over again. And conveniently, the government has been operating under a CIA discovery that repetition is one of the most effective forms of brainwashing. I believe, as Joseph Goebbels said, that if you repeat something, a lie, often enough, people begin to believe it. Labor leader Phil Goff has slammed the government's KiwiSaver changes, saying that they would penalise low and middle income earners the most. This is, of course, Phil Goff, who sold off state assets 100% in the 80s to international banks. Again, see, this is the right versus the left. One is a former employee of international banks that's selling the country out to international banks, and the other is a former, Labour Party minister who helped sell out the country to international banks. These are the two choices that you have. Come on. Is anybody else out there really pissed off that your country is just totally, totally enslaved by scumbag servants of the New World Order? You know? And the fact that they keep talking and never shut the F up and stop spreading their propaganda and lies to our people really doesn't deserve re-election. Now, he goes on to say that this is going to fall heavily on low and middle income earners. Why don't they start with people who got those fabulous tax cuts, the $1,000 a week that they gave to everybody earning $1 million a year, he said. Now, what difference really does $1,000 a week make to somebody who's earning $1 million a year? Not much. Because what he's talking about, those aren't the high earners. Okay? People think that somebody who's got a boat and $1 million mansion is a high earner? No. Somebody who has a super yacht and a $10 million mansion in five countries is somebody who's very wealthy. Okay? These just millionaires, they're not wealthy at all, mate. Seriously. They're the low-hanging fruit. And what happens here is that they're the ones who are demonized. They're actually the middle class. They're not the aristocracy. They're not the upper class. You know, and sure enough, they're just as dumb and just as well manipulated by the political system as well. They will, in fact, support policies which doom their businesses. You know? But when asked if Labour would reverse the changes, Goff would not commit to it doing so. Now, when I ambushed Goff at the Mount Albert War Memorial, and, of course, those of you who don't know much about the super city, as I referred to earlier, is the Agenda 21 blueprint for the Auckland region, the largest, most profitable and most powerful region in the entire country. It was, in fact, Labour and Phil Goff that started the Royal Commission of Inquiry that wound up giving the report for the super city. And I asked him, point blank, straight to his face, and you can go and watch the video on YouTube, that are you going to give people their right to have a vote? Okay, considering they had all this legislation rammed through in the first effing place, are you actually going to give them their right to vote? To say, no, we don't want corporate dictatorship of our city. No, we don't want all our assets and water and transport to be given off to Veolia, the world's largest private water company. And he just wouldn't answer the question. He wouldn't give us our rights. We'll be back. We're back. Oh, yes. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Joining in, tuning in from around the world. Continuing on with this KiwiSaver cuts and Goff's take on it. Phil Goff is, of course, the leader of the Labour Party, the left side of this false left-right dichotomy we've got in this country. Quote, with a $16 billion deficit, it's going to be hard, in fact impossible, to restore all those cuts. At once, we've got to prioritise, but we'll prioritise making sure it's fair to low and middle income earners. It's basically, he can say nothing, commit nothing, and then just throw in there middle and low income earners to get the poor vote. which he's going to screw over as soon as he gets elected. All right? Anybody who's studied Lenin, okay, understands that this is what their tactique is. They will tell you, great, and this is why Lenin was very successful, okay, mind you, because he understood that it doesn't matter what your policies are, it doesn't matter how good you are, you will never get anything accomplished unless you're in power. So the philosophy is, tell the people everything they want to hear, and once you're in power, then you screw them over. As Phil Goff's likely to do if he ever gets elected, and because he's just basically the least popular Labour Party minister, leader, etc., that's ever existed, I don't think he'll get re-elected. I think just like in the American election, where Barack Obama, now with a staged, and it's now totally staged, beyond totally staged, killing of Osama bin Laden. He's shot up in the polls. He's going to get re-elected. Now, in New Zealand, they don't need to stage a complete false a thing like that, okay, because our country's false enough and people are stupid enough to vote for Key to get re-elected, even though he screwed this country over more than 4 years and gotten us into more debt than any government in history, in my opinion. Key said that the government had put in nearly half of all the money that had been built up in KiwiSaver accounts, but that does not constitute real savings, he said. That's right, because you're devaluing the frickin' currency. And no matter how much frickin' interest you get on your deposits, it's going to be whisked away by inflation because the government is getting monstrously into debt at the rate of $450 million a week. Okay? It's not that difficult to frickin' figure out. And quote, because the government has to borrow to raise it, and the debt on one hand simply cancels out the saving on the other. Now, that makes sense. Let's get into debt so we can save. Oh, my God. It's a bit like someone going to Westpac to borrow some money and then taking it to ANZ to put in their savings account. Incidentally, Westpac and the ANZ are both Australian-owned banks. And that doesn't surprise me at all that the leader of the Labor Party would use Australian banks as the example. Because, namely, they were the ones to help privatise all of that kind of crap. Anyway, now, it's easy to see that this is not real savings. And like I said from the start, as soon as the government released this KiwiSaver scheme, everybody's like, wow, government's going to give me $1,000. Wow, when I go for my home, they'll give me $5,000. You know, I had a look at the time that it was released at all the companies that were being earmarked for this KiwiSaver scheme. All foreign-owned finance companies. 18 or 19 finance companies collapsed in the year that KiwiSaver was released to the public. And I thought to myself, investing huge amounts of my money, my employer's money, and my government's money, which is my money, into a massive Ponzi scheme with companies that are desperately trying to stay afloat, and most of which being stripped of all their assets and all of their investors getting left out in the cold, doesn't sound like a wise investment scheme. I'm sorry, I'm not that retarded. But unfortunately, the rest of the public is. The government currently contributes $20 a week to KiwiSaver accounts, but that is set to come down over time. But Key would not say by how much. The decreased contribution from the government would be compensated with increased contributions from individuals and employers. So basically what we're doing is we're getting the country less in debt, but getting the employers and the employees more in debt. And, you know, people are saying, oh, well, how can the country be not getting in debt by decreasing its contribution and people getting more in debt by increasing their contributions to savings? Well, guess what happens when you run out of extra money in your bank account to buy food as the oil prices and everything starts to skyrocket in a hyperinflation economy? You are going to have to take out a credit card. You are going to have to wind up getting monstrously in debt just to stay alive because you're not going to be allowed to touch your KiwiSaver money, which, in my opinion, the government is going to wind up rolling over and stealing anyway and then giving it to the massive offshore banks. Okay? This is just another big Ponzi scheme to rip everybody off. Mark my words. Now, the advice we have had from officials, this is what they say, is that they will result in a modest improvement in the rate of national savings, Key said. Now, how exactly are we going to make a modest improvement in national savings of any kind while we still have a private central banking system that gets the country monstrously into debt inexorably? It's not possible. This is just a big scam, of course, in my opinion. Don't buy it. As a result, New Zealand's net international liabilities, which currently sits about 87%, that's right, foreigners own about 87% of New Zealand debt. And does that mean that they own 87% of New Zealand? I'd probably say that that does. Hey, because the entire economy is built on basically mountains of frickin' debt. Debt that's been created out of thin air, thanks to the removal of the Glass-Steagall Act under the Clinton administration, which now allows banks to engage in basically financial terrorism that caused the original Great Depression and stock market crash. Okay? They have only reinstituted this now because they need another Great Depression, a depression much, much larger than the previous one. Reason being is they want a one-world government. Okay? Now, if I was to say to you that, hey, let's just kind of get your country monstrously into debt and amalgamate it into a one-world government where everybody has gets tracked and traced wherever they go, total police state where we've even got brain scanning machines that can tell what you're thinking, okay, on the streets, and radiation bath scanners at every railway, every airport, when we now got them in Auckland Airport, mind you, you just go, oh, for F's sake, that's just crazy. That's Orwellian. That's insane. And, but of course, if the government says it, oh, well, you know, they must know what they're doing because they're advised by people. This whole scheme is run by professionals. Professional manipulators, okay? And people, I think maybe we've got a bit too much pride these days, you know, pride in ourselves, you know. Oh, nobody can manipulate me. You know, myself, for example, I can be manipulated easily, okay? So long as somebody's smarter than me. Somebody's smarter than me, they can deceive me and manipulate me. It's that simple. They know how I think, they know how I work, etc., etc. They'll know what my particular, soirees and sways and whatever would dictate my decisions so they could manipulate me. That's how it works. And the government, psychologically, has managed to actually get enough information on all the people through surveys and whatnot like that, that they can actually almost predict with stunning accuracy what you're going to do. Okay? And they've set up their policy to get a one-world government, okay? And they're manipulating you every step of the way. Now, the advice that they're getting from officials, okay? When you say advice getting given by officials, what that reminds me of is the big housing market crash of 2008, where the ratings agencies were given payoffs to AAA rate derivatives. Okay, derivatives of death, which are currently upwards of 1.4 quadrillion, that's $1,400 trillion worth of made-up debt, okay? This is the exact same thing that happened in the original stock market crash, okay, way back in the day, man. All right, people were able to borrow up to 10 times the amount, you know, like you could buy 10 bucks worth of shares for only a buck down, but they could call in your loans at any time, okay? This is what caused it. Everybody got monstrous amounts of debt. Some people made a lot of money out of that monstrous amount of debt. And the people like the Rockefellers, Warburgs, JP Morgan Chase, etc., they decided it was a grand idea to invest all their money in gold before releasing false stories in the newspaper saying that small banks were collapsing, and that caused the population to panic, start trying to withdraw all their money, and then it caused the money value to cascade down ever so sweetly. And unfortunately, or rather fortunately for everybody else, they didn't have to worry, okay, because they had all their money securely invested in gold, which doesn't lose its value during a massive market crash. Now, I would postulate, of course, that this is the precise same scheme that's going on today, but to a larger scale. You know, student loan cuts and all of this other stuff. I mean, it's all par for the course. There's very little to convince me that the government has for some reason been taken over by good guys and is going to attempt to stop getting people ripped off, stop selling out our sovereignty, stop marching towards a one world government, police state, computer god, communism. So it's just not going to happen, okay? We're the ones that have to make it happen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and we'll be right back after the break. There's no civilians, women, children, frontline prison. Consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation, true fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses. Welcome back to now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, or the angriest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. If you would like to help and support this show or the operations that we're conducting with, basically being the only true free media organization in the country, netting up and working out and giving exposure to all the activists who need it and exposing the political scum that deserve it, please go to Guerrilla Media or the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and donate, or you can subscribe for $5 New Zealand a week. And once every couple of months, I will send you out a brand spanking new edition of Mr. News on DVD to add to your fabulous collection. Now, back to the show. As a result of all these cuts and stuff like that, this is great. This is the small benefit to huge cuts that is just always touted as a great success. We would reduce the country's liabilities by an estimated 2% of GDP over the next decade. Okay? An extremely small amount over a relatively long period of time. Now, I don't know if anybody would be able to answer this question, but how exactly do you predict what the economic situation is going to be like 10 years down the track? As far as I'm concerned, you can't. Unless, of course, you know, the globalist agenda, because they control all the economies of the world anyway. All right. Now, back into this working for families cuts. Key said that over time, the amount on working for families would slightly reduce. And as I said before, they're just basically BSing you. And higher income earners would get less, and a greater proportion of the spend would go on the most vulnerable families. Now, when they say vulnerable families, what they're talking about is lower socioeconomic families, you know, like basically if you've got brown skin. That's basically what they're talking about. Same groups that are targeted by vaccine schedules. Okay. Oh, you're in an at-risk area. Wait a second. It's just South Auckland. There's no outbreak of disease or anything like that. Oh, but you're brown. You know, we need to jab you up with poisonous mercury. You know, and the exact same thing is true of economic situations. In the United States, for example, more black children are aborted now than are walking the earth today. And incidentally, if you're on welfare, you cannot, as a mother, get welfare if you've got a man in the house. And so, as a result, hey, they can't keep a man, because a man would have to actually work two jobs just to keep the house going, because they can't get welfare. All right. What Working for Families basically is, and this is, of course, just pure speculation on my part. I have no evidence to support this whatsoever. It's not an entirely different scheme from what's already been implemented on the black community in the United States. Okay? Working for Families helped to destroy them. Now, maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But whenever the government gives you money, I automatically assume that there's some kind of evil plot involved, and invariably, I wind up being correct. The changes will be phased over in the best part of a decade, and in fact, more families will see increases in their Working for Families payments over this time. Spending on the Working for Families has gone up for the sake of politics, quote-unquote, since the 2005 election to cost almost $2.8 billion, roughly twice what they cost in 05 and 06. Now, as far as student loan cuts are concerned, this is what they're saying. Tertiary Education Minister Stephen Joyce has already signalled it will be harder for over 55s and people reapplying for a student loan to get more debt from the government. And in my opinion, anybody who gets denied being able to get more debt from the government isn't in a terribly bad situation in the first place. Now, what I find is, though, and, you know, I've been to university and I know plenty of elderly people who are currently in university. Okay, they're wishing to further their education, and for God knows what. I mean, they don't exactly have any career prospects. They're basically retired, and they can't survive on their pension money, but they can survive on student allowance. But the proviso is, of course, they need to get massive amounts of debt, which they'll never be able to pay off because, well, quite likely they'll just die of chemtrails beforehand anyway. Now, we need to ensure that borrowers, and this is a quote, understand that when they choose to access the loan scheme, they are also taking all the responsibilities that come with it, Key said. And see, the difficulty is when you're shifting responsibility from government to the people, you've got to wonder at what point has the government shifted its responsibility from itself into the corporate schemes owned by the New World Order. And in my opinion, it's basically almost complete. New figures yesterday showed government borrowing has hit a new high of $380 million a week, and of course that's been overridden by a month or two ago, released from the BNZ chief, $450. See, what they've done is they've said, hey, we're borrowing $250 million a week, and everybody's like, oh my God, we're borrowing $250 million a week, that's insane! And then they say, well, we're actually borrowing $300 million a week, and they go, oh my God, that's absolutely amazing, it's stupendous! And then they say, well, actually, we're borrowing $350 million a week. And everywhere goes, oh, my God. So on and so forth, okay? They are lying to you. Every single time a politician opens their mouth, they are effing lying to you. Don't be a sucker. Speaking of liars, Finance Minister Bill English said the deficit this year would be the worst in New Zealand's history at more than $16 billion, and it's probably something like 10 times that, but they'll release those figures later. The red ink was driven by the slow recovery, the Christchurch earthquake, and associated one-off costs, and namely the massive AMI insurance, which insures about a third of the houses or so, or a third of the damaged houses, sorry, in Christchurch. Basically, they had overextended themselves, gotten themselves into monstrous debt, and weren't able to pay the insurance payouts for all the people that have their homes damaged in Christchurch. So what did they do? In pure socialist fashion, they go to the government so that they can get bailed out by the taxpayer and privatise the profits and socialise the debt. Okay? The Christchurch disasters worked out quite well for all these companies. Even though it ought to destroy them, the government comes in and saves them. In my opinion, if a business can't survive on its own, then it needs to be dismantled and taken away. I don't care that it'll create a bit of unemployment or whatever. I'd rather people be jobless than employed in a company that destroys this country. Okay? I don't think that that's a terribly unreasonable request, that if a business wants to be successful, that they actually have to be successful instead of getting bailed out by mummy and daddy state every frickin' time they make some description of mistake that destroys this country. However, you measure, it will be somewhere between 15 to 17 billion, and we've been borrowing a bit more than that to try and keep ahead of the game. This is what Prime Minister... our finance minister, Bill English, is saying. Now, if you saw his signature, like I have, on the, what was it, Securities and Exchange Commission website, where they have already projected the budget of the country up through to 2018. 2007 levels of the budget, the amount that we're allowed to spend, and this is what people don't know about their government, is that you actually get a set allowance from the international bankers of how much you're allowed to spend each year. 2007 was the highest spending year. 2008 was about half of that. 2009, lower again. And going through to 2013, where it will be something like 15% of the expenditure that was allowed in 2007. And if you have, and I saw those figures in 2008. Okay? And every single year, it looks like massive cuts and massive deficits have been the go, just as the graph would indicate. Okay? The Securities and Exchange Commission owns this freaking country much more so than the people of this country do. Okay? We're simply debt slaves, cows, and collateral to be milked. Okay? And if you're from New Zealand, I'm sure that should resonate with you. Treasury said yesterday that the budget deficit for the 9 months to the end of March was running at $10.2 billion against the forecast $8.9 billion. But the larger, and does anybody even understand these figures when I'm saying them? Does anybody understand it when they you don't know how much money that is, okay? You know how much $100 is, or $200, or $350, you know, because you got to pay your rent. You know, you got to buy your food, you got to fill up your car with gas. And nowadays, it costs about $200 to fill up a nice SUV with gas, you know, and that's diesel. It's much, much cheaper than the regular petrol. But the deficit after gains and losses on investments fell $3.3 billion from a forecast $7.2 billion because of gains by the Superannuation Fund and ACC. Now, one would consider that superannuation, you know, basically just a big, big savings scheme for everybody who's eventually going to be out of work because they're just getting too old to do it, and they keep increasing the retirement age anyway because they want you to be a slave for longer and longer. And ACC, which incidentally made something like $14 million profit last year, and the government said, oh, they're in such terrible financial strife, we need to sell it off to private insurers. Let's go for the American system where a lot of people can't afford insurance and they get turned away at the door. You know, this is not the kind of country I want. We need to take responsibility for ourselves and we need to take care of each other. Okay, basically, that's it. The American economy, in its first instance, actually ran pretty well on that particular system, had approximately 10% growth in the budget from after the revolution until the 1913 institution of the Federal Reserve System. 10% growth per year, okay? China's been managing that, and they've got full-on ruthless communism, forcing everybody to do it, and currency manipulation. They're not doing it for real. The American economy was. And that was because when anybody wanted to school in a town or a community, they'd get together in the town hall and say, okay, we need a school. How much money do we need? Okay, we need that much money. We'll figure it out or whatever. Local builder, local plumber, and local electrician or whatever the heck would all put their hands up and say, okay, well, this is how much it's going to cost for my services. And everybody just kind of puts together and puts in the money. And hey, we've got a new school. And then we've got all our children educated. You know, that was frickin' brilliant. We could do that today when we get communities together to actually solve problems. But no! The best thing to do instead is to listen to liars, bankers, and scum to tell us how bad our deficit is getting and what new grand schemes and total BS that we need to listen to and follow in order to get ourselves out of the massive hole that they dug for us. Strong investor demand for government debt had seen it borrow a record $2.8 billion in March. And the government says the economy is improving and we're trying to reduce your debt. They are getting us into record amounts of debt. Okay? How can this story, honestly, I'm almost done reading it. You know, there's a couple of sentences left, but you can see it's taken me over an hour and a quarter to actually go through this one article from one news source to point out all the inadequacies and the reality behind the figures that they're dropping on us. Okay? It's incredible. The government will borrow $20 billion this year. That is more than needed, but Key said the government was taking advantage of favourable market conditions. Favourable market conditions? Is that why you're signing us up to the TPPA, the New Zealand version of NAFTA and GATT, which is going to further destroy our sovereignty and give transnational corporations the ability to sue our government in the world court if they ever, ever pollute or try and destroy this country? And we'll go, hey, you're polluting and trying to destroy this country. And they go, oh, you're violating the trade deal. We're going to take you to the world court and fine you millions upon billions of dollars. Okay? That's what these things are talking about. On a weekly basis, the new debt for New Zealand averages out to $380 million a week. That increase in debt is obviously unaffordable, he said, which is why, of course, they're recommending it. And why they're doing it. Okay? They don't want this country to be independent. They want us to be effing slaves. It's that simple. The budget deficit was worrying, but people would understand it was largely because of the Christchurch earthquakes. The EQC's $1.5 billion added to the deficit. Now the Earthquake Commission has a huge amount of money, land, resources and everything like that that they're all invested up all around the world, okay, that they can sell in order to pay for Christchurch's rebuilding. And in my opinion, Christchurch needs to be abandoned in its entirety and they need to start a new city outside of the current city limits, preferably on a plain that is not built on sand. I think when people see the budget on May 19th, they'll realise the government is actually making great steps towards getting back to surplus and getting the books back in order. So, in the same article where they say, we are importing a record amount of debt per week, we have the biggest budget deficit in New Zealand history, they say that the public will realise that we're getting the books back in order. They deny with their mouths what they're doing with their hands. The manipulation could not be more stark. And we keep saying that they just need some more writers, man. Seriously. This is just incomprehensibly idiotic. But interestingly enough, a lot of the slave public will believe it. They really are that stupid that they will believe someone who has lied to them and will lie to them in the same sentence. They won't figure it out. Okay? I can say, my name's Vinnie Eastwood, my name's not Vinnie Eastwood, and they believe me. They wouldn't know what they were believing, whether or not I was or wasn't Vinnie Eastwood, but they still believe me anyway. Because I'm Vinnie Eastwood. I'm the Prime Minister of New Zealand. You know, fucking stupid, man. As well as cuts to KiwiSaver student loans and working for families, it is understood the government has also pressed departments for significant cuts to capital spending plans. And this is, of course, it's just World Bank 101. All right, that's what they do. English said the budget would show great steps towards returning the accounts to surplus. Instead of repeating the lie again, you know, in the last few, and I think it will be one of the good news parts of the budget. Okay. There is no good news in this budget. There's no good news anywhere in any sector of the budget. Okay. Our entire country is being fiefed. All right? We're going to be turned into a fiefdom. It's just so stark. And our media, of course, completely derelict in their duties, just repeat this nonsense and don't give people any further insight into it. So when somebody tells you that the budget cuts and all of that kind of stuff is good for the country, you now know better because you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back.
No one like me.
Yeah. Welcome back to the most fabulously angry you know, talking about the news, politics. Most people don't care. No. And I suppose there's a good reason for that, because it's all just a big effing show anyway, and they haven't been exposed to real information in the media for their entire lives. Now, that is one of the topics that I want to discuss on today, is like why politics and all of this kind of crap is actually interesting, rather than it just being, I don't know, just something that happens. Now, anything that I would say on this show, just bear in mind, I'm not God, I'm not omnipotent, I don't know 100% at all that what I'm saying is absolutely correct, okay? This is just the best information that I have to go on at the moment, because I interview activists, researchers, and basically people who have been screwed over by the system and as a result have begun to see it for what it really is, and have conducted a lot of research and made sure that they understand it. I then talk to them, and that facilitates my understanding. Okay? Now, this means, of course, that the paradigm of voting, discussing, and getting any type of real understanding of politics becomes, I don't know, somewhat further afield from reality and research for me. It becomes more into speculation and listening for me. Okay, so I can hear what the people who know what they're talking about are saying, take that as one part, and then I can just speculate based upon what their thoughts have indicated to me. Now, I've said for a long time that I think a lot faster than some people, okay? Now, this is both a good thing and a bad thing, because I can think something that's correct, be way more correct, way faster than other people, or I could think something that's wrong and be very, very wrong indeed. So, if you listen to the show and you find and you hear me saying something that is not correct, please tell me about it, okay? Hit me up on Facebook, Skype, through the website, doesn't matter. Make contact. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong, please. Because there's one thing that really, really Fs people off is when commentators get it wrong and they don't correct themselves, okay? When they keep going on. You know, if I get something wrong, it's not because I'm disinfo or anything like that. It's because I'm wrong, okay? For goodness sake, I'm 26 years old. How am I supposed to get everything right? Now, that's the paradigm that people really have to bust through, is that you don't actually really have to get everything right, okay? You just have to be able to admit when you're wrong, okay? And that's what politicians don't do anymore. That's why people switch off to them, okay? That's why people stop following politics. And in my opinion, this is part of the whole general scheme. If you can stop people from being interested in politics, you can get away with anything in politics, because nobody will know what the heck's going on. Basically, in a nutshell, that's my understanding. My thoughts are, of course, based on that understanding, that everything in the country, everything in the political sphere, everything in the media is based on absolute BS, can make you feel very disillusioned, okay? And make you feel very angry and or depressed. However, that will only happen to you if you do nothing about it. Okay? Now, moving on, just basically trying to encourage people, if you like something, support it. If you don't like something, try and change it. You know, pretty straightforward. And that's what empowerment really is all about, is getting yourself some description of peace of mind. You know? Yay! I can actually have an effect on the world. Mantastic. Now, in global research, this one from guerrillamedia.co.nz, the West is trapped in its own propaganda, submitted on May 12th. One of the wishes that readers often expressed to me came true today, on May the 11th. It was on the mainstream media. It was a program with a worldwide reach, the BBC World Service. There were many others on the program as well, and the topic was Hillary Clinton's remarks on May 10th about the lack of democracy and human rights in China. I startled the program's host when I compared Hillary's remarks to the pot calling the kettle black. I was somewhat taken aback by myself when the British BBC program host rushed to America's defense and wondered about it as the program continued. Surely he had heard about Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo detainees, CIA secret torture prisons sprinkled around the world, invasion and destruction of Iraq on the basis of lies and deceptions, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen, Somalia, Libya. I mean, surely he was aware of Hillary's hypocrisy as she demonized China but turned a blind eye to Israel, Mubarak, Bahrain, and the Saudis, which were all incidentally U.S. assets. China's record is not perfect, but is it this bad? Why wasn't the Chinese Minister for Foreign Affairs criticizing Americans' human rights abuses and rigged elections? How come China minds its own business and we don't? It's probably because they have an enormous firewall called the Great Firewall of China. Now, this is the thing. David Rockefeller, one of the founders and, in fact, I think he's the chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations at the moment, you know? Total globalist. He's a freaking kingpin, if ever there was one that you could point a stick at, of the globalist moves around the world, you know, or at least the most public kingpin. And all the rest of them, I'd probably say, don't like their names in the in the media or pictures or anything around anywhere. But he said that whatever the cost to the people's liberties and rights in China, you know, including Tiananmen Square and the mass slaughter and people having their organs harvested on the way to waiting airplanes because they practiced things like Falun Gong, you know, spiritual beliefs or whatever, therefore we can take their kidneys and sell them on the open market. He said whatever the cost to Chinese lifestyle or whatever, it's surely worth it to have such an efficient system. Okay, and that's basically the real thing that we have to worry about here, is that the US, New Zealand, and every country around the world is basically heading towards some description of dictatorship in the model of China. My consideration is that, I don't know, if we're going to start basically being a total oppressive police state globally, okay, and that's in the works, and they've been chugging along that party line for quite some time, then it is, of course, the obligation of every member of every free nation, or the illusion of a free nation, rather, because I'm not sure if there are any actual real free nations at the moment, you know, globally. They either were free and have since been invaded, or they're not free at all, and they're complete, utter slave chained nations, like New Zealand, for example. Now, the questions about China and all of that don't go down well, of course, because when you're talking about it, people accuse you of being racist. Now, this is another globalist plan, is that you use the concept of racism to divide people so that the globalists can basically take them out, because they hate everybody anyway. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're white, Asian, black, whatever. They want you dead. You know, it's just that simple. And along those lines of thinking, here's another article in from New Zealand. Far-right group plans Auckland anti-Asian march. Okay, a far-right Christchurch group is planning a massive anti-Asian rally in Queen Street after its recruiting drive in Auckland. Its leader, Kyle Chapman, told the Herald yesterday. The right-wing resistance is handing out flyers in areas with high Asian populations such as Pakuranga, Hawick and Northcote, claiming an Asian invasion is taking place. And of course, and this is all done by design anyway, much like the illegal Mexican immigration into the United States is not only fostered but helped by the federal government, basically, so that you can drive diversity up. And now, when I say diversity, I'm not talking about, you know, it's really great how you can go and get Chinese food or Indian food or any kind of culture's food in this country. You know, that's not the diversity I'm talking about. What I am talking about is a dilution of culture. Okay, now, when you come to a new country, my thoughts are that you need to learn the culture of that country, learn the language of that country, and begin to associate with the locals and then assimilate. Okay, that is the goal of immigration. proper immigration, in my opinion. But what's happening now is, of course, we have people coming in from all over the world. And if you already have a similar culture, like if you're from America or Britain or whatever, basically everybody but Australians can get in, finds it very, very difficult to get in here. I mean, they have to have a huge amount of money, huge amount of skills, and they've got like this points system, right? Bloody impossible to get in. However, that is not the case when it comes to Asian immigration. Is my understanding is that there's a threshold of like $1 million or something. If you've got $1 million and you can buy a business here, you can then migrate with your family so long as you employ more than a couple of New Zealanders. I think it's like 4 or 5 New Zealanders plus $1 million cash. If you can do that, hey, you're welcome right on in. And a friend of mine, he's well, quite frankly, a little bit racist, but I don't hold that against him quite so much, because in this case, his suspicion based on racism actually turns out to be true. His suspicion is that a lot of Asian drivers in New Zealand don't actually have their license, have actually, in fact, bought their driver's licenses. And he's pulled up not less than 3 Asian drivers, asked them for their license, seen it, and then done them a little quick quiz. Like, for example, what does that sign over there mean? They don't know. One of them was even driving around at night without their lights on, and he said, put your lights on. Okay, he pulled them up on the side of the road. And he said, you know, turn your lights on. And they're like, you didn't even know. Okay, and they had a full New Zealand driver's license. Explain that one to me. Okay? Now, this is, I'm not going to try and bash Asians or whatever, because I've got Asian friends, and they're freaking cool people, man. Cool people. Bright as, actually quite creative when it comes down to it. At least my friends, anyway. I'm not sure if they're indicative of the entire Asian population, but because, of course, there's billions of them. But and the reality is, they're like anybody else. However, those are the friends that I have that are Asian have assimilated. They've become patriots. They love this country, and they want to defend it against enemies, both foreign and domestic, just like I do as a proud New Zealander. When we have people coming over that don't operate under that, which insulate themselves into highly like-minded communities, as was said before in Pakuranga, Howick, and Northcote, that I really don't agree with to a certain extent. But what is happening is that they're using this sort of anti-Asian march as an ability to foment racial division, okay? Now, if you can get a country divided over racial lines, you can conquer them with your political ones, okay? Simple as that. Mr. Champman, a former National Front leader, said the drive was to recruit like-minded Kiwis to organise the rally, which the group plans to stage before the general election on November 26. He said the resistance was against mass Asian immigration because Asian migrants, quote, stole jobs and, quote, destroyed white New Zealand culture and heritage. Now, they don't actually steal jobs. They come in and they set up their own businesses, okay? And they haven't destroyed white New Zealand culture and heritage, okay? It was, in fact, the other whites that work for the World Bank that did that by making sure that our immigration policy allows for mass migration, okay? These people are looking at the problem that's on the surface. They're not looking at the root of the problem, which is not Asians. It's not immigration, it's the globalists. They control our country, they control our government. They have no intention of allowing people to unite under singular banners or anything like that. That's why mainstream media gives a decent amount of coverage to issues like this, to foment that kind of rage, to tick off white New Zealand. And when asked by this reporter, an Asian originally from Singapore, if he was one of those the group would like to keep out of the country, Mr. Chapman said, you're not the kind of Asian we're against. The tactic we're taking at the moment is the anti-communist tag, and too many Chinese are coming in with communist affiliation, he said, and that we don't want to be taken over by communists. Now, that begs the question, why doesn't he have an anti-communist rally? Okay? The communists in this country have a pro-communist rally May the 1st every year to spread their communist propaganda. And of course, I join them on these marches because there are small elements with what they're talking about that I agree with. But like I say, it's on the points you agree that you come together and collaborate and help each other. On the points that you disagree, just leave them alone for now, unless, of course, that person's totally against this country. Okay? If overall somebody is a threat to this nation, okay, then you can still work with them. However, once they do reveal themselves as being a threat, and once they do reveal themselves as being so totally ignorant and unwilling to have a look at reality, that makes them an enemy of the state, in my opinion. Okay? Now, communist immigration, that's something I did want to actually touch on here a little bit, is that the Chinese are doing this on purpose. Okay? They take the long view. Much like now, according to recent news, China is starting up to build military bases in Australia, of all places. They're planning a communist takeover of the world, just like the globalists are. Okay? They're the big, long arm of the globalist stick. That's why they moved all our manufacturing over there, to deindustrialize the Western world, to enslave the rest of us.
What is about? There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating. Oh yeah!
Welcome back! It's all just a little bit of history repeating, as you well know, and it's all just a little bit of communist infiltration. And if you think communism doesn't act in a way that subverts you, then you have to watch a documentary, It Was My Job to Deceive, or something like that. I forget the guy's name. Anyway, he was interviewed by G. Edward Griffin back during the 70s or the 80s, I believe, and it was with a former propaganda officer of the USSR, whose job it was to go into foreign countries, and his job in particular to go to India, and recruit the best and the brightest people who have the most market amount of influence. We're talking about university professors, young up-and-coming politicians, media people, and to get them drunk, to invite them back to Russia, where they would keep them drunk so that they're easily influenceable and suggestible and having a really good time and have a nice view of communism, and take them around and fake staged tours, all right? Like, we'll show them a nice kindergarten that's actually reasonably good. When in actual fact, 90% of the Russians at the time were living in an absolute destitute, squalid conditions, okay? Propaganda, okay? Communists understand propaganda more than the people who live in so-called capitalist countries do, because communists understand and can see it, because it's blatant. It's absolutely everywhere. In this country, on the other hand, you actually have to learn to spot what the propaganda is. And that's what I try to do for people on the show, so spot out the propaganda that we're being used to be manipulated and intimidated, etc., etc. Going back onto this anti-Asian issue, which in reality, here's propaganda, for example. Far-right group plans Auckland anti-Asian march. Okay? That's how they do. First of all, they define the paradigm by which they're doing on, so all these leftists go, oh, well, here's the far-right wingers, blah, blah, blah. And then it says anti-Asian. When they confirm later on in the article that it's not anti-Asian at all, it's anti-communist infiltration. Okay? So, first, what they do is they define an issue which the left of this country would absolutely be opposed to, racism, okay? And mind you, racism is one of the best tools of coercing people's conformity, okay? Even anti-racism is being used to do that to a certain extent. Okay? This is why people need to understand how they can be manipulated, okay? As far as I'm concerned, there's only one race, it's the human race, and we all belong to it, but within everybody's race, there are assholes and there are nice people, okay? Nice people far outnumber the assholes, but the assholes, for some reason, wind up finding themselves very wealthy and in charge of major corporations, which have an inordinate amount of influence for which to spread their scumbaggery agenda. Now, in this case, fortunately, there's enough of a public uproar against right-wingers and these anti-Asian marches, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm not supporting the idea of just being anti-Asian or whatever, and it frustrates me that I even have to preface this, because, of course, anybody listening to this who's of the left persuasion, many of which are my friends, of course, because for some reason I seem to be able to weave in and out of every political spectrum there is, because I'm just such a nice guy. The fact of the matter is people don't comprehend the games that are being played on them, okay? You know, I don't want to insult your intelligence here, but let's face facts here. We're being manipulated. Okay? It's very sad, but it's very true. Now, it's beyond belief that the country could slip so far so quickly, right? Now, as far as I know, we've had awful lots of immigration. Let's take a statistic that Winston Peters told me once, actually. It's quite interesting to see the comparison. Finland recently won the best places in the world to live, has an immigration policy so strict and so pro-assimilation that only 400 to 500 people gain permanent residency and citizenship in Finland per year. New Zealand, by comparison, has 50,000 immigrants per year. Okay? Do the math. We've got 4 million people plus 50,000 immigrants per year. And in Finland, they've got something like 10, 14 million people, 500 immigrants a year. Do the math. Which culture do you think is going to be diluted and destroyed first? Okay? That's the whole idea. And what the left does is they parlay it as being racist. You don't want to destroy this country. You don't want to turn everybody into a massive melting pot so we can be amalgamated into the new world order. You're racist. F off. Seriously. If you don't understand the concept of the new world order, you don't understand politics. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. I understand it because I did some research. Because I listened to researchers. Because I analyze the news. I don't automatically go off on some tangentry issue just because it's totally irrelevant and I just want to fulfill my communist political agenda. I don't do that. Look at reality. And again, and I'll say it again. If you don't know about the New World Order, you don't understand politics. Okay? Everybody in this country needs to shut the F up when it comes to politics if they don't know about the New World Order. Okay? Period. That's my opinion anyway. And I'm all for freedom of speech. You know? And this is just my personal opinion. This is my freedom of speech telling these people to shut the F up and start listening. Because for each moment they don't listen, for each moment that they talk, they waste valuable organization time where we can actually mount a defensive capability against these international globalist slime bags who love communism and love capitalism as well, because they created both of them to parlay against to fight against each other so that everybody will be manipulated and wind up being amalgamated. Okay? Beyond question, that's exactly what's going on. And if you can disprove that, if you can prove to me that the World Bank doesn't exist, that they didn't have white papers leaked saying that they're basically setting up every country that takes loans off them to fail, if you can prove that communism doesn't exist, if you can prove that Lenin didn't come up with the concept of lying to people and telling them everything they want to hear until they get in power and then screw them over afterwards with five-year plans that killed millions of Russians, okay, go right ahead. Try and prove that to me. because you can't change history. Okay? This is the origin of it. Okay? You don't understand Wolverine unless you watch X-Men Origins. Okay? That's basically what it is. You can't understand communism unless you understand the origins of communism. Right? They are trying to take over the world. Okay? Russians tried to do it back when the USSR was still formed, and they're still trying to do it today by getting business interests and immigration into other countries and recruiting the best and the brightest to spread their communist propaganda. Exact same thing's happening today with China. The exact same thing's happening today with America and with the Mossad and all of these international, internationally operating intelligence agencies for basically regimes. You know, that's what we've really got. We have the John Key regime here in New Zealand. We have the Gillard regime in Australia. And we have intelligence agencies working for them that are pushing whatever agenda that they want. Okay? Now, whether or not we're going to wind up defeating these people, I think is sort of, you know, past the point of no return anyway. We've already won. We're just going through the motions here and rapiding up the new pockets of resistance. Biggest problem that the alternative media had in the first place was that we didn't have any outlets, okay? We didn't have enough people listening to make decisions or become informed. Now we do, okay? That big hurdle is over. We've won. We're just going through the motions. And to say it again, we've won. We're just going through the motions here. Now, getting everybody else woken up, quite frankly, I'm not sure how you can wake up somebody who goes from a total belief in the system to total resistance against the New World Order. I don't know exactly how to do that. I know how it happened to me. I started watching documentary films online. So people like Jade Tuckwell, and I want to give a shout out to him here from 9/11 Truth in Wellington, has been handing out copious amounts of DVDs. Now, when you hand out a DVD to somebody, I'm not 100% sure whether or not they'll go home and watch it. But at least you've given them the opportunity to, you know. At least they took that DVD, okay? The information is out there for people to access. Giving them the motivation to want to access it is something that I'm not 100% sure of how to do. Now, in my experience, the best activists who have woken up the most have been those who have felt the oppressive arm of the New World Order. Those who have been arrested, beaten for no reason, or basically incarcerated for long periods of time in mental institutions for their political beliefs. Those kind of people become the most dangerous anti-New World Order activists because they get woken up in a very quick and succinct fashion, usually because they were getting too close to the truth in the first place, and so they needed to be taken down a notch. Okay? But as a result, as the spirit of resistance and liberty would suggest, they get up, they start fighting, and they do not stop. That is the enemy that you cannot defeat, the one who will stay alive in their head and in their heart, even if you take their life away from them. Okay? You cannot beat an enemy like that. And I can tell you now that there are millions of people all over the world exactly like that. And they are all fighting towards the same end. The end of the New World Order master plan. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another exciting edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I hope you've had some information good breaking it down here. Spread it out to people if you choose. Other than that, have a lovely, lovely slave-like existence. We'll be back again sometime.